What a great day. What a great week. We are looking forward to celebrating Thanksgiving. Looking forward to a lot of great family relationships. Looking forward to a lot of great food. Looking forward to many of you some time off. Some of you will get a little bit of time off. Our students are getting quite a bit of time off, and I know they're grateful for that. This morning, I've just been thinking about how many people in this room have unthinkable blessings. We have people that are going through treatment of different kinds. We are so thankful that people who are going through treatments are doing as well as they are. We're glad to have Jim Cartwright with us this morning, and there are others who are struggling in one way or another. As we think about that, we need to be grateful for the blessings that we have in the help that is available. We have had little babies born. We have some beautiful, beautiful families in this room today and in our congregation, and we have a lot to be thankful for as we look at that. One or two of those little ones have been diagnosed with illnesses of different kinds, problems that they have been dealing with and perhaps will continue to deal with. And how grateful are we for those special, precious little ones. And then those little ones grow into what we have right over here, and we're so thankful for that. We see these young men and women growing up, and school is going on for them, and they're learning so much, and they are being a part of our community in a great way, and they're being part of our congregation in a great way. And then we have parents that are raising all of those children, and there are many, many blessings and challenges that go along with that. And then there are a few people in this room who are growing just a tad older, and we're feeling the pressure of age. There are physical problems. We know that there are many people in this room who are struggling with aging parents, who are struggling with individuals in families who have some form of dementia, and their physical bodies are still with us, but their minds are going away. There are just so many circumstances that I think about in this room today and in our congregation, in our community, and in our world. And yet, we still have a chance to be grateful. I'm thinking about the passage that is on the screen. And by the way, when I was just reading several articles and looking at different things about Thanksgiving and this term, you're gratitude quotient kept coming up. And so I just decided that since it's such a common thing that most of you are aware of GQ, I made that a part of the title, and Bill Wade immediately said, "Roy, are you going to start dressing differently come Sunday morning?" And so I told him I thought I was already eligible for the cover of GQ, but I guess I'm not. But what is your gratitude quotient? Look at what Paul said here in these two verses. And I appreciate, you know, I was thinking sometimes how we take the time for someone to walk up here on this stage and read for 20 seconds, maybe. Is that important? I think it is. Listen to what that passage says. You've already heard it one time, but it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Boy, I've listed a lot of circumstances that's in our congregation. "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," for me. So when we start thinking about how high that gratitude quotient is, we need to think. I read a story a few years back, and I know that you've heard it. I have used this illustration, not here, been a long time, but I've used this illustration before. But it speaks to the kind of thing that we ought to be thinking about. It's a story about a man and a woman who gave a very generous donation to the church that they were going to in memory of their son who lost his life in Iraq. When the announcement was made during a worship service, a woman whispered to her husband, "Let's give the same amount for our son." Her husband looked at her and thought, "Well, now that's crazy. We haven't lost our son. Our son wasn't killed. And the woman looked at him and said, "That's just the point. Let's give it as an expression of our gratitude for God sparing our son's life. Give thanks in all circumstances." You see, it touches our heart when somebody gives in memory of someone. We have some special people in this room who've given in memory of very special people. Just open the songbook and look. And there have been some people remembered and honored. And their memory has been honored. And what a great blessing that is, where people are thoughtful to give in memory of someone. But what about these precious children that we have? As we think about offering thanks and giving thanks in all circumstances, I'm thinking about the opportunities that we have to give and to be thankful. I'm thinking about how the Lord blesses us with the opportunity to give. And I want to share five comments with you where God tells us that we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful in our blessings, even when things are going very, very well. I remember as a university student, I can picture myself now sitting on the steps of the old library. It's located where the new library is now. I'm sitting on the steps. There were those tennis courts out there. Some of you older folks will remember that scene. There were lots of devotionals held there, sitting on the library steps. And when I first came to Fried Hardeman, someone gave a devotional and used this illustration. I'm not sure I've heard this illustration, but maybe once in the last 30 or 40 years, but many of you have heard it over and over again, but I just want to remind you. An anonymous writer was talking about being grateful and thankful and said, "Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, I smiled. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he couldn't hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. Give thanks in all circumstances. So, what do we give thanks for? We're thankful in our blessings. The Bible teaches us that. We have many, many blessings. This morning, there's so many things to be grateful for. Do we have some problems? We do. But there are so many things to be thankful for, and we need to remember that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God gave us blessings yesterday. He is giving us blessings today. He's going to give us blessings tomorrow. Every person in this room needs to be thankful for blessings, even when things are going as well as they possibly can. So I think about today, we need to be grateful for life, for health, for family, for friends, for the things that are going well. Is everything well today? No. But do we have many, many things for which to be thankful? Yes, we do. Second, the Bible teaches us that we need to be thankful in our prayers. How often do we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7? One of the most popular chapters in the Bible. It has so much to say to us. But one of the things that it says to us is be anxious in nothing. How hard is that? When you have the pressures in life that you have today, some of you sitting here today are physically sick. Some of you are just so tired from the work you've had to do, you cannot stay awake hardly. Some of you have relationship pressures. Some of you have so many things going on, I can't even name them all. But God says, be anxious in nothing. You see, we want to say, I don't think the Lord understands what I'm going through. I'm not sure the Lord understands my pain. I'm not sure He understands the emotional difficulties that I'm facing. I think the Lord understands anything that you could bring before Him today. And so in nothing be anxious, but in every prayer, in everything, by prayer and the supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. What a challenge. When we start thinking about all of the problems that persist in our lives, the challenges that we have in our lives, God says in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanks. God consistently tries to tell us that the pressures and problems that we're going through are to our advantage. We need to use them as an advantage instead of letting it bring us down and drag us down and helping us to be miserable and ungrateful people. Every challenge that we have is a blessing, God says. So let your request be made known to God. Is there anything wrong with asking God to turn life around in a different direction? Absolutely not. But in nothing be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Well, I think about this often. What a challenge it is to be thankful in our worship as we connect with God. There's so much going on in my life. My mind just turns and turns and turns. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I cannot go back to sleep. My mind seems to be running about 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking about people that I love. I'm thinking about circumstances that I hate. I'm thinking about our world that I just don't fit into sometimes. I cannot feel good about what I read over and over again in the newspaper. About every time you look in the paper now, there's a shooting. There was another one out in California this day or yesterday. And I cannot think about how I don't get it. I don't understand how the world could be so bad for those people that they would want to take the lives indiscriminately sometimes, but meaning to take the lives of people and then take their own life. I don't get that. I don't fit into that kind of world. That doesn't fit my kind of thinking. I don't get what's going on in the world about how people treat each other and all of the different kinds of abuse, and particularly in the news recently is sexual abuse and person after person after person being accused. I don't fit in. And so things are running through my mind, and the very things that ought to make me connect with God in worship sometimes prevent me from connecting with God in worship. I let those circumstances that come up in my life defeat my desire to draw close to God. But the Hebrew writer in chapter 13 and verse 15 says, through Him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. We thank You for leading us in songs that say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for loving me, making me whole, saving my soul. I want to thank You, Lord. We need that song on our lips all day long. And similar songs on our lips all day long as we lift up our voice in praise to God. What a great group of people out there to honor God and to worship Him in a great way. And I want to tell you, I am blessed. I am blessed in ways that I cannot even express because of you and because of people like you. Jason Elliott, in teaching the primetime class today, studied with us chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And the last part of that I needed so much, because what he said is, I want to challenge you this week to write your own list of heroes of faith. And he started naming people in his life that have touched him, that have lived faith in God before him. Jason, thank you. What an unbelievable blessing that was to me, to think, to be made to think about precious, dear people who have been so good to me. And my life is full with you. My life is full with you. When we start looking at what God says to us here, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1 and verse 3. Howard Hughes died recently. It was reported that Howard Hughes, when worth approximately $4 billion, said, "I'd give it all for one good friend." Have hundreds of good friends in this room. I can't tell you how grateful I am and how thankful I am. Some of you, young ones, I've known all of your life. I've known your moms and dads, and I've been close to them, and I'm so thankful for the fellowship that God has brought us into to share life with. Since 1965, I've been sharing life with a few of you, and then over the years, that number has just continued to grow. Thankful for the fellowship that we have together. And then I've mentioned the difficulties. God says, be thankful in suffering. When you look at God giving us opportunities to lift up our voice, to trust in Him, I'm thinking about some of you who've lost your mates, some of you who've lost your dad, some of you who've lost your moms this year. Hard to think about giving thanks for that loss, for that loneliness, for that hurt. But God says in every circumstance. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening to you and to me. When we talk about God, when we praise God, when we lift up our voice, somebody is listening. What an impact it must have had on those prisoners. We know the impact it had on the jailer. He could not stand the pressure. He wanted to know, what is it that would make you want to sing praises to God? You've been beaten and put in prison, and here you are singing praise unto God. Colossians 3:15 is a great passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. You have a choice. I was watching a football game yesterday that probably some of you were watching. The quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners may be the Heisman Trophy winner. He certainly, according to everybody, has the lead in that. And that's the highest award that can go to a football player in college. He went off the field making an ugly gesture and saying some ugly things. You could read his lips. They had the camera on him. He had a chance to respond to some people who would not shake his hand at the beginning of the game. And he stated that that was what caused him to give the reaction, the ugly reaction that millions of people saw. You see, he should have listened to Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God make the call in your life, how you are going to respond and how grateful you ought to be. He had just had a great game. His team was going to win. There wasn't any doubt about that. And what an impossible thing it was to think about watching him be so ugly when he could have let the peace of God rule in his heart and life. What about you and what about me as we think about our suffering? So the question today for us is, are you practicing thankfulness? Am I practicing thankfulness? Edward Spencer was a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois. He was also a member of a life-saving squad during his school years. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was acknowledged that not one of those people that he rescued ever bothered to thank him. Worse than being merely discourteous, these people displayed a gross lack of gratitude. And I think this morning, especially as believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens our lives up to God and to other people. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Is it personal? Are you grateful? If you're really grateful to the Lord and you've never been baptized into Christ, it would seem to me you would want to submit your will to His, that you would want to repent of your sins and be buried with Him in baptism, that you would want to express that kind of gratitude for the death that He died for you, for the sacrifice that He made for you, for the life that He gave up so that you might live. And if you're a child of God, it just seems amazing to me that you could walk out the door today knowing where you are. If you're an unfaithful child of God, there's no doubt you know where you are. It just seems to me incredible that we would be so ungrateful, that we would choose a lifestyle that we know is in violation of God's will as His child. I'm thankful today for this opportunity. We sometimes sing this invitation song without serious thought. We act as though, well, this is another part of the service. We ring the bell and the sermon is over and we stand and we sing and we go, that's finally over. But is it over for you? Do you need to respond to the Lord this morning with gratitude in your heart for what God has done for you? Be grateful. Respond if you need to as we stand and as we sing.